Why have I invited Alison to come and talk about colleges today and her work? Why have I done that? Well, do you know what? I want you to know and to see that God is moving in Blackburn. Yeah. Do you want to tip this town upside down for Jesus?
Yes.
Because it needs it, doesn't it? And God is moving. He's moving, and you don't often get opportunity. I meet a lot of cool people who want to do that and tip Blackburn upside down for Jesus. I'm talking to the Dean, Canon Rowena at the cathedral. She wants to tip Blackburn upside down for Jesus. She really does. An Anglican, a high Anglican. It's brilliant. Sorry, no offense. But, you know, so why? Jesus is moving, and we need to change the way that we think.
Yes.
Because we need to repent, because God really is moving. Are you excited?
Yes.
I'm excited. It's cool. It's very, very cool. I've gone massively off subject. In Jesus' brill. Yeah. We've been looking at Luke, the Gospel of Luke. It's fantastic preaching through Luke. It's so good. I've so enjoyed it. But we're going to... So we've been looking at Luke. We looked at the first week. We looked at... Do you know what? When you read the Bible... You can be certain. Luke says, "Dear Theophilus, I'm writing an orderly account for you so that you can be certain of what Jesus has done."
Hallelujah.
Certain. That's the first word. When you read Luke, you can be certain. This is fact, historical fact, spiritual fact, truth. Is that good? Yes, it is. Yes, and then we looked at Elizabeth and Mary and what was happening before the beginning of Luke's Gospel. And do you know what? Nothing happened for 400 years. God was silent for 400 years. But do you know what? He was still moving. He was still moving. Yeah? God feels like sometimes he's silent in Blackburn, doesn't he? Do you know what? He's still moving. He's still moving. Are you excited?
Yes.
Is that good? God is, whatever it looks like, God is moving for his purpose. Brilliant. And then John the Baptist burst onto the scene saying, "Prepare the way of the Lord." And actually Jeff brought, it's about kings. And when kings in the old Middle East was like going somewhere, they'd prepare the way. We need to prepare the way. If you want, Jesus is coming. We need to prepare the way. What's in your life that is stopping the rule and reign of Jesus? What is in this church stopping the rule and reign of Jesus bursting out into Blackburn? Because we need to prepare the way of the Lord. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Yes, it is. And then he preached as well to John the Baptist. Brutal. He would have been a bit like a mixture of Andy Parr and Jeff, I reckon, was John the Baptist. Yeah, and he said, "Do you know what? If you want to prepare the way of the Lord," he said, "what must we do?" And he said, "You know what? If you've got two shirts, give one of those shirts to somebody who has no shirts." That is challenging, isn't it? That's before Jesus even turned up. Social gospel. Yeah, he says, don't extort money. Don't give false witness. Be content with your pay. Who's content with what they've got? I want a new nice Samsung phone for Christmas. I'm not content with my watch. She's sat there listening. No, be content. Apart from about that, Lisa, I'll absolution. But be content. And then Silvanus, baptism. If you haven't been baptized, get baptized. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. Yeah, do you want to show that you've died with Christ and you're a disciple of Christ? Do it. Do it. And then the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus doesn't need to get baptized, gets baptized. And this wonderful encounter between God the Father, the Holy Spirit comes down like a dove, not as a dove, but like a dove. And then Jesus is there and the voice says, "This is my son. I am well pleased." This is God. Jesus is fully God. Fully God. Is that exciting? I'm well excited. The community of the spiritual. And then we did the genealogy and we said Jesus was fully God, fully man. But part of a people and a family. You're part of the people of God. We're part of a larger people. in Blackburn, a universal church. Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, but Jesus was fully man. And then he's tempted in the wilderness. So the Holy Spirit takes Jesus into the wilderness. Jeff had talked about going into the wilderness. The Holy Spirit often takes us into difficult places, yeah, for a time of testing. Yeah, and what happens? Jesus wins. He has the most incredible victory. Satan tempts him, says, and Jesus gets his Bible and Bible bashes Satan. He says, it is written. Do you want to know if you want to break Satan's power in your life? Read the Bible. It's all there. It's fantastic. Yeah, and not only that, Satan had tempted every person ever from beginning of time to the end of time, including you, and everybody had failed. Satan had defeated everybody apart from Jesus. Jesus won. Satan lost. Round one to Jesus. And hell must have shook. Satan had a gin and tonic. He had a bad day. Yeah? First victory. But that's what happened. And interestingly, Angela talks about identity. Satan attacks the identity of Jesus. If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, you are a child of God.
Yes.
And that's where Satan's going to go. He's going to say, you're rubbish. God doesn't love you. God doesn't have the best interest for you. No, just do this. He doesn't care. Rubbish. It is written. And then Jesus goes on the attack. And he declares war on Satan. And he quotes, he goes to Nazareth and he quotes Isaiah 61. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, which is called for, if you read the Old Testament, the messiahs and judges, the mini messiahs, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them and they defeated God's enemies. Read about Gideon, read about Joshua, read about all these guys, even Saul. The Spirit of the God is upon Jesus. He's here to wage war and good news to the poor. It's not just financially poor. We're all poor. We all have nothing. We all deserve nothing. Good news. There is no good news apart from Jesus. And he said, the captives are free.
Amen.
You are free.
Yes.
Jesus has the power to set people free.
Amen.
Are you oppressed by something? Even Christians. Yes. Jesus has the power to set you free.
Yes.
Blind eyes. See. Fake news. Do you know what? The people of Israel were blind. The people in Blackburn are blind. Yeah, they don't know what is true. The people in Iran are blind. Because Satan is lying. But Jesus has the power. And he says, I'm going to make blind eyes see. See the truth. He's going to physically make blind eyes see, but he's going to make spiritually blind eyes see, because Jesus is the way, is the truth, is the life.
Hallelujah.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
He's ripping it up, is Jesus in Luke, isn't he? Ripping it up. And then, so Satan must have been freaking by this point. Yeah, and he says, why? Because God's grace. He says, because the time of the Lord's favour is here. Do you know what? God loves you. He is gracious. He is kind. And he wants you to live the most incredible life ever. Yeah? Do you believe that?
Yeah.
It's his grace. Because when he's coming back again, he's coming back different. Same Jesus, but he's going to destroy his enemies. And then he speaks with authority because he speaks truth. You can only speak authoritatively if you speak in truth. And Jesus is speaking the only truth. And he wanders round, and you know what? The demons see him and they say, go away, because they are scared. They are fleeing from Jesus. And Jesus says, get out.
Hallelujah.
And they leave.
Hallelujah.
The demons are scared, oppressing a man. So there are strongholds in your life that could be satanic. There are. Yeah? So people's like unforgiveness, we're talking about it in Alpha. Unforgiveness, it messes people's up. That's a stronghold. It makes people nasty. Demons flee. Anger. Angry people. Greed. Lies. Can you just not stop lying? Do you know what? Jesus can make that stronghold free and break the chains of it. Fear. Too scared to do it. Addiction. I just cannot break this addiction in my life. Do you know what? Jesus has the power to do it. Do you believe it? Not only for you, but for other people as well. He is the only person that can do that. Do you believe that? It's just in the Bible. That's it. Occult, unrepentant sin. And Jesus heals people. He has sickness to leave. He says, leave. Madness. And last week, Jeff was talking about, so after he goes on the attack, then he starts recruiting his army. I love it. This is why he's like, recruits other dudes to do the same, not exactly the same thing as Jesus, but go preach this message. Yeah, and he does it on a boat. He intervenes in their work life. Yeah, I loved it. You can't argue with that, can you, Jeff? Yeah? Yeah, but he says, don't be afraid, I will make fishers of man. Jesus came into these guys' lives and trashed their lives for Jesus. He really, really did. And we're generally okay with Jesus on a Sunday morning, aren't we? We're okay listening to him. We're okay living in our lives on a Sunday morning. But when he comes and starts telling us what to do at work, very different question. Yeah? I started when I was at Capita, like, and I thought there was a choice to do something. I'm like, well, I'll do the thing that I should be doing, or what Jesus wants to. No, that can't be right. You don't know how to run a business. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Jesus wants to be in your work, your play, your entire life. He knows it better than you. And he that's what he did. He went, he told them how to fish. You want to let Jesus tell you how to do your work, whatever it is, McDonald's, care work, whatever, you engineering, whatever you do. And then we're up to this bit. I'm excited already. I don't know about you. That's enough. Let's go on. It's like, there's enough there in that. It's just brilliant. Brilliant. But then we get to Luke. It gets better. We get to Luke chapter 5, verse 12. Just, I think, is it up there? I can't remember whether I put it up there or not. Get this. Listen to this. This is awesome. So it says, in one of the villages, Jesus met a man with advanced, I want to accentuate, advanced case of leprosy. And when the man saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground. So he was on his knees, bowed with his face to the ground. Like that. Begging to be healed. Lord, he said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. What's the background? What's going on? Who's this guy? Well, leprosy is not just a disease. Yeah, leprosy is something that wrecks your entire life on every level. See where this guy is at, yeah? So the modern name for leprosy, I hope I've got this right, Angela, is Hansen's disease. It still kind of exists today. And they've got documentation from 600 BC from China talking about leprosy and Hansen's disease. They called it leprosy. And they were terrified. It was the most terrifying disease, terrifying thing that could possibly happen to you or anybody in the world. And they were petrified of it in the ancient world. It's mentioned in China before Christ. It's mentioned in India. And it's horrific. It's absolutely horrific. And Hansen's disease, it disfigures from a sense of physically. It disfigures the skin, the bones, the hands, the face. And apparently it's caused by bacteria. They wouldn't know that. And it spread. It wasn't too contagious, but it spread through touch. So it did, and breathing sometimes, apparently. It was a vicious... So no antibiotics. I'm sure Angela would have given you a round of antibiotics. Yeah, but there was no cure for this. It was horrific. I want to give you an idea of what this guy would look like. So he had advanced leprosy. Will you just put the next slide on? This is leprosy today. Can you see that? This is what this guy would have looked like. So it's horrific, isn't it? Horrific. Yeah. So, first of all, not only do you look a bit like that guy, so you lose your fingers, your toes, your face is scaly, it's horrific, isn't it? Absolutely horrific. But on top of that, in the culture, in the kind of first century AD, this sickness would have been viewed as a judgment from God. So on top of everything else, it's judgment from God, considered to be judgment from God. So not only were you sick, it was your own fault. It's grim, that, isn't it? And even biblically, so leprosy was seen as judgment from God. So the story in the Bible about Miriam, you know, in Exodus, and she grumbled against God, and she gets leprosy for a period of time, and then when she's sorted, she comes back. But again, that's how the Jewish world would have seen this disease. So you didn't deserve any pity because it's your own fault. And it's a bit like, probably the equivalent is drug addicts or alcoholics sometimes. Addicts, yeah, it's your own fault. You can't control your behaviour. AIDS would be similar. Yeah, it's your own fault. You've had a hedonistic lifestyle. This is where this person was. Not only is he poor, it's his own fault. And that's how it was viewed. So, again, it was considered to be incredibly contagious. So people feared to be in the presence of this man. Not only did they look terrible, but they wouldn't touch him. They wouldn't touch him. They wouldn't go near him. He wasn't allowed to live round other people. He would be considered a dangerous individual. A dangerous individual, wouldn't it? People would be scary to be around. He'd have to live separately from the rest of his community. You know, like people struggling today in a lot of society, aren't they? Let's just dump them somewhere. He would have lost his living. He would have lost any standing he had. He would have lost his job, his profession. He would have lost, if he had children, he would have lost his children. He'd have his children taken off him or not have contact with his children. His mother, his father, necessarily wouldn't have any contact with him. No wife, all his friendships destroyed. All relationships destroyed. He probably was depressed because he was probably lonely. Yeah, that causes a lot of depression. No contact with other people. Loneliness. But this guy, loneliness, he would have felt hopeless. He had to ring a bell as he walked round saying, unclean. It's bad, isn't it? It's really, really bad. It's harsh. He would have looked horrifying, as you can see. He would have lost all sensitivity in his hands and his feet. If you're struggling with something, very often you lose sensitivity about things. If you're a drug addict, life doesn't matter anymore, does it? It's about whatever, anything. So that's where he was. He lost all sense. He probably smelt. He's rotting, basically. He wouldn't be able to, if he had any faith at all, be able to worship in a meaningful way. So he wouldn't be able to go to the temple. He wouldn't be able to go to the synagogue. So that element is broken. He's no relationship with God. He's no relationship with man. He's no relationship with himself. It's all his own fault. It's terrible. I'm just painting a picture where this guy is. Yeah, I can't think of an exact modern equivalent. Maybe, I don't know, somebody who's a child. I don't know. Yeah, it would be awful. So this is where this guy is. Have I painted a picture for you? Yeah? And it says, continues, when the man saw Jesus... Poor guy. He bowed with his face to the ground. Like that. Begging to be healed. Lord, he said, if you are willing, you can get his faith. You can heal me and make me clean. He saw Jesus, this guy. He bowed to the ground, admitted his poverty, his hopelessness, and he begged Jesus to be healed. Because you know what? He was desperate. He was desperate. What a desperate situation. He had nothing. He would have nothing left, this guy. Just nothing left. And he chose to come to Jesus' feet. And you know what? I loved it. Do you remember Stuart Gosling a few weeks ago? But get this. So Jesus is the God of the universe, right? And Jesus, for that moment in time, God, who has created the universe, chose to stop with this guy. It's mad, isn't it? So the entire godness of the universe was stood with this guy. Was Jesus willing? So this guy didn't know that either, did he? Yeah, so God would have been a judgmental God in his view, maybe. Yeah, his expectation might have been judgment because in his opinion it was probably his fault as well. Yeah, he probably felt he'd done some sin, he'd done some terrible thing and God had judged him. Yeah. This is what Jesus did. Listen. So Jesus reached out. So he didn't just... He reached out towards this guy. So the God of the universe reached out to this guy. So he would have had to walk to get to him. And touched him. So this guy couldn't touch anybody. Yeah, so the cleanest, most wonderful God of the universe, the dirtiest, messed up person in the world... And he touches. He touches him. Yeah. And it's wow. Who's righteous? And he said. And this is good news. This is such good news. He said, "I am willing. I am willing. I am willing." That's good, isn't it? That's good news to the poor. That's good news to the messed up. That's good news to the broken. That's good news to me. Because inside, I might not look exactly like him, but I'm equally messed up. Yeah? Yeah, that's good news to you. Because God, Jesus, was willing. Yeah? That is good news. Jesus touched him. Jesus went into the danger zone, broke convention, social convention, and he touched this guy with leprosy. There is nothing in anybody's life that they have either done or held hostage to, whatever sin, whatever addiction, whatever, that Jesus will not enter into your world. He will reach into your world and he will touch you if you are willing to come to him. Is that good news? Don't matter who you are, don't matter what you've done, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how posh you are, doesn't matter how messed up you are, doesn't matter how broken you are, whether it's your fault, whether it's anybody's fault, whether just whatever, Jesus, if you come to him, he will reach into your life and he will touch you because he is willing. Nothing dark enough to stop him. And Jesus said, this is the kicker, Jesus said, be healed, and instantly he was healed. Instantly he was healed. And today is exactly the same, because Jesus said that he's the same today, yesterday, and into the future. That is good news, isn't it? He says, and instantly the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus instructs him not to tell anyone what had happened. He said, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed by leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. I'm not going to preach anymore. I think that's enough, actually, to be quite honest. I'm going to cut it out. I think wherever you are, so why did Jesus heal this man? It wasn't just about the leprosy. So this man, from now on, he went to the priest, and got almost like accredited that he was healed, And his relationship, spiritually, by a touch of Jesus, was fixed between him and God. Be healed. Jesus healed the relationship. He could worship. He could worship again. Jesus fixed the relationship between him and his community. He could be part of a community again. He could see his wife, his children, all this, because he was healed. Jesus fixed it. He fixed it. He instantly healed. I said, and he does that today. If you come to him, if you come to the foot of the cross, which is the way that it works, whatever is messing you up, honestly, whatever, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never been touched by Jesus, if you are willing, come to him. Whatever is messing you up, your life, it's unforgiveness, whatever it is, Jesus is the same today. Jesus fixes the relationship between you and God and you and your community if you come to him. Is that not good news? Do you not want to see more of that in Blackburn? Do you not want to tip Blackburn up with that good news? To people who are messed up. Because Jesus is God, and he is that person who stepped out and healed that person, and he heals instantly. Are you not excited by that? I am. I think that is very, very cool. It is beyond cool. Do you not want to worship that God? I'm going to shut up, right? But if you want to come and be touched by Jesus this morning, I'm going to hoodwink Andy and Lynn. Come to the front and be prayed. Don't matter where you are in your life, honestly, come and be prayed. If you want God to break something in your life, come and be prayed. If you want him to be filled with his Holy Spirit, because that's what he does, come and be prayed for. Come to Jesus, because he is willing. He is willing. And that is good. God is good. I'm going to pray and then I'll hand back to Angela. Lord Jesus, we're so glad that you are willing to heal and touch and break and change people, right people, and make them right between you and God and them and worship and God and the rest of the community. Lord, come to Blackburn. We want to see it more in Blackburn because it is true. We can be certain of these facts. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, Lord. We are begging, like the guy with leprosy, Lord, to come to this town and heal. We need to come to you to heal, Lord Jesus. Lord, come, Lord Jesus, for your glory and your glory alone. We ask this in your name. Amen.